There's a universal sign for surrender. Does anybody know what it is? I surrender. It don't matter. So how about with surrender all now? Jesus, I surrender. With all your hearts now, let's worship Him.
Jesus, I surrender all the kingdoms of...
Oh, I believe He likes that. Let's sing it again just that way with all our hearts.
And Jesus, I surrender all. And Jesus, I surrender all. And Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdoms of...
Oh, can we make Him the Lord of all just one more time?
When Jesus came, the Lord of all, oh Jesus be the Lord of all, and Jesus be the Lord of all, the kingdoms of my heart.
Hallelujah. You know, a lot of times people think when you surrender, it's a bad thing. But I'm so glad that I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. Because carrying those burdens, I tell you what, by yourself, they get heavy fast. But you put it in the hands of the Maker one time, oh, He just gets light all day long. So, I got one more, Dad. What's up? Kia.
And I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost,
oh hallelujah,
He died upon that cross. And I know it was the blood for me.
One more time.
I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood.
Glory to God.
I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost,
thank You, Lord,
He died upon that cross. And I know it was the blood for me. I know He's coming back. I know He's coming back.
Glory to God.
I know He's coming back for me. One day when I was lost, He died upon that cross. And I know He's coming back for me.
I know that blood. Let's sing it.
I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood.
Glory to God.
I know it was the blood for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, He died upon that cross.
Thank You, Lord.
I know it was the blood for me.
Let's give Him a hand clap of praise. He's worthy of. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise Your holy name, Father. Thank You for dying for us, Lord. Praise be to God. Yes, we're here for communion tonight. We're going to get into the Word here straight away. Everything's about the blood of Christ. If ever as a Christian you get away from the blood of Christ,
amen.
I don't know what you're preaching anymore. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
That man had taken his inheritance and forfeited it to the devil. But God wouldn't let it stay that way. He came down Himself and brought us back.
Amen.
Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. Appreciate Delaney's being here this afternoon. God bless you. I don't plan on being too long. The Lord might have different plans. That's okay. We're here to have fellowship with the Lord. That's what's important.
Amen.
Matthew 26. Can't find the verse. There we go. Starting at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it and gave to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 16. That's Romans. There we go. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many members, are one bread and one body. Amen. For we are all partakers of that one bread." Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come into this house, as Dad said earlier, not to be with one another, but Lord, to have communion with you, because we know communion is to talk to, is to fellowship with. Lord, and I believe that you ordained this to keep sin out of our lives, that we could have communion with you, because we know that sin is the only thing that separates God and his people. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd have your way. Amen. Speak, Lord, the things that are true, that are honest and sincere, Lord, and just bring us right to where we need to be tonight. We love you, Lord, and we want to do everything we can to show you that. We appreciate you, Lord, and we invite you here to have your way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A little warm in here today, is that just me? Brother Steve's always 10 degrees cooler than I am, I guess, or the other way. But that's all right. Praise God, we're here to talk about communion. And as we read there, we know that communion was something that Jesus Christ himself started. As we read there in Matthew chapter 26, shortly before he went to the cross, they sat there eating, I believe it was the Passover. Jesus took the bread, it says he blessed it and gave it to his disciples. He said, "Drink or eat ye all of it." Same with the cup. He said, "Drink ye all of it." And we know that as Paul picks this up, he said, "Is this not the communion of the blood of Christ?" Which we know that communion is more than just a ceremony that we uphold. Communion means to talk to fellowship with. So this time is so sacred that it's, even for me, especially if you take communion often, it kind of gets routine-ish. And it's something that you have to dismiss to realize that this is check-up time. Amen. For the church when you come to communion. Because you have two choices when you come to communion. Actually, we probably should read this first before I go that way. Let's go ahead and do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to read this at the same time. We know that Jesus started this. We know that Paul picked it up and said this is the communion of the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. Now let's see where he institutes that we should do this today. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. And I love how the word, there's just inspiration behind it, just reading it.
Amen.
Especially when you see how Jesus only said so much, but for some reason when Paul quotes Jesus, he's got more to say about it. Amen. Because by revelation, he could see things that Jesus himself didn't even write yet. I believe a prophet has that authority. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." So now we know when this happened. This happened the night he was betrayed.
Yeah.
So this was important to the Lord. This is what he did at the breaking point of his death.
Uh-huh.
"I'm going to do something now."
Right.
"He took bread, and when he had given thanks," and we ever eat or drink anything without giving thanks. And here's the Lord giving thanks for a piece of bread that he created.
Amen.
That he's going to symbolize his own crucifixion with.
Right.
And he still prayed for it. Pray for your food. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you.'" As we sang earlier, I know it was the blood, not for brother so-and-so, not for the pastor, not for this church, this denomination. It was the blood for me. Yes, and he said, Jesus has said here, "This is broken for you." So you need to hear that today. Jesus is saying, "I am dying for
Amen.
You. Amen. As I've said before, if you were the only sinner that ever came on the earth, Jesus would have done everything he did. Because he loved us that much. "My body is broken for you. this do in remembrance of me. So there's the commandment. He told us, do this in remembrance of me. 25. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. So as I said before, this is an institution. This is one of the, I can't think of the words I want to say. What is it called? Sacraments? Is that the word I want? This is one of the three sacraments that Jesus established. One was water baptism. One is communion. And we'll get to it in a minute. One is foot washing. Three things that he told us to do. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So when we go to take communion, it isn't, oh, I'm going to go eat a little piece of bread and drink a little bit of wine. We are here to show what happened on Calvary.
Amen.
To realize what really happened that day and to apply it to our own lives. To go, wow, look what I did, knowing what Christ did to save me. It's a checkup time. Yeah. To go, why would I be like that? Lord, take that wicked thing out of me.
Amen.
That's what communion is for.
That's good, man.
We're showing the Lord's death till he come. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That makes it a sincere time. He says, if you do this unworthily, you'll be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, as if you put him there yourself. Now, we're not here to show the Lord, oh, look, I prayed this much this month. I'm allowed to take communion now.
Right.
I failed last month, but not this month. I got my checklist. I'm worthy.
Yeah.
You're not worthy by anything but the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ that cleansed your soul, and the only reason you know it, because the Holy Ghost came into you.
Amen.
That's when you know you're worthy. And as people approach the communion table, I see it on both sides. I see people that take it like it's just, oh, we're just here to have whatever time. We're just here, I'm just going to go through the motions. You know, this is what everybody else is doing, I'll do it. That ain't the way you take communion. It's sincere. It's okay to cry on the communion table, knowing what he did for us. I have before many times. Then I see on the other side where we're too busy putting the lashes on our back, we can't even get up to the communion table. I'm not worthy.
Good, bro.
I can't do this. I can't partake of Christ. Whoa, wait. Did he accept you?
Amen.
If he accepted you, you're worthy.
Amen.
Because he took our place that we could have his.
Amen.
Amen. That's the whole message right there.
Amen.
Christ became us and we could become him.
That's what I count on. Amen.
And if you come by perfect faith, how do you have perfect faith? Perfect repentance. You ain't got nothing to hide to God. Say, God, I know I did that yesterday. That was wrong. But I'm clearing it up right now with you. And if there's somebody, something even you got on with the brother, you know you can't talk to him right now. You make it right in your heart.
Amen.
And say, God, by your help, I'll go make it right. And don't say, I'm going to go make it right, because you'll fail every time. You say, Lord, by your help, I'll make it right.
Amen.
And get all that just cleared out. Just clear it out. Say, Lord, I don't want nothing hidden. I'm not ashamed of anything, because I know even my mistakes were ordained by you and they're in the blood of Christ, because he didn't die for my past sins. He died for all my sins.
Amen.
Past, present, future.
Amen.
Even 5 minutes ago.
Yes, sir.
I want to read verse 28. But let the pastor examine everybody.
Oh, false doctrine.
That's not what I said, does it? But let a man examine himself. So as we come to the communion table, I'm not going to restrict it to any person. It's between you and God.
Right.
If you don't think you're worthy, don't take it. If you don't got faith to take it, don't take it. But if you don't have faith to take it, that just shows you're condemned somewhere in your heart anyways. So let's get to the altar and let's repent of that.
Sure.
And then let's get to the communion table like we're supposed to be.
Right. Amen, brother.
Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So he's saying, do it. You know, examine yourself, then do it.
Amen.
Don't sit on it. Get to communion. I've seen all kinds of times where people have skipped communion service month after month, month after month. That's a bad sign. That shows you probably got sin in your life. Or you wouldn't be scared to go to communion.
That's good.
All you have to do is examine yourself. And look, it's not for the Lord coming against us. Verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Which we know in the Bible, that means they're dead. And I believe this happened to the Corinthian church. I think that's why Paul wrote this. They had gotten to sin so much that people had died. God had to take them off because they were so disobedient. Just as we talked about that man that said, I ain't going to serve the Lord no more. I'm going to go down here and drink beer and whiskey and whatever he wanted to. And people kept coming to him and saying, you're serving the Lord. You need to come back. He says, no, I'm done serving the Lord. God took him off the scene. Yeah. Right there because of that. He wasn't deserting the Lord's body, especially if he's got a call of God on his life. Because he's not only responsible for himself now. That gift was given for the body. And that part of the body will be hindered because that gift was not being used.
Right.
The same with the rich young ruler. Why do you think he had such a terrible punishment? What was he always trying to do? Go after his brother. What did Jesus say? Forsake all and come and follow me. The only people he ever said that to was the disciples. Or the apostles. Ones that he was going to send out into all the world. He was one of them. Should have been. But in God's mind, he knew he won't accept it. He's got the gift, but he won't accept it.
Mom.
God took him off. We know he even got richer, and we know all that stuff. And in one day, he was gone. Found himself in hell. Uh-huh. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You want to go to judgment with clear conscience? Judge yourself.
Yes.
Say, Lord, I know I did that. I know I'm wrong, but I'm repenting right here. I know I'm putting everything in my life under that blood. Now I can come in free of judgment. Because whosoever's born again doesn't come to the judgment. You pass from death unto life.
Amen.
The second you doubt that, though, you lose all benefits of it. You have to accept it.
Amen.
By faith.
Amen.
For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, oh, I love this, being a child of God. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Not punished, not sent to hell. We're chastened, spanked, because we're his children.
Amen.
We're chastened, Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So what's communion for? To keep you out of the condemnation.
Amen.
I got a little hesitant, amen. Do we have to think about that for a minute? That's okay. You can laugh too, okay? My joke's not that good. I'm just kidding. I'll move on. Chastening of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. So when we are even judged of the Lord, when we're not willing to judge ourselves and we try to even have sin, he says, look, the Lord will still not bring into condemnation because you're his child. Verse 33. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. As we know, he says earlier in the book of Corinthians that they came to the communion table and one man was a glutton, another one was drunk. We're not here to eat five loaves of bread and drink a pint of wine, all right? We're here to partake of it.
Amen.
So we don't need a lot, just one little piece, I guess. Amen. I don't know why I'm losing my voice. How long have I been preaching? 10 minutes? God have mercy. It must be a little warm. Let us examine ourselves as we come to this table. We're here to tarry for one another. And I like that last part. It says, the rest will I set in order when I come. Which to me, and this is my theology, I believe that the way we do communion, the order, the setup, and all that isn't necessarily important to God. Or he would have put in what Paul told them in the Bible. We don't know what he told them. We don't know how he set in order, because they probably had different buildings.
Right.
They probably have different setups. They probably had to do it this way, that way, or whatever. So when it comes to every church, I don't care how you want to do it. You want to set it up like this, set up like that. That's between the church and the people. That's fine. But we need to partake of this.
Amen.
We need to have communion. It's an order of the Lord, and we need to do it. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Do we believe that today?
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Amen. So what I like to do, just trying to think how I want to do this. So we go to take communion tonight. I think I want to take a little time. Dad, can you get ready to start the music? Because I think it would be good if we just all took a few minutes here. You pray your own way. You want to stand, pray, kneel, I don't care. Let's take a few minutes to pray. And like the Bible said, let's judge ourselves. Let's judge ourselves. And make sure before we come up here to partake of these things that we are found in the faith, that if there's anything that needs to be unraveled, uncovered, we'll do that now.
Amen,
and be honest before the Lord. So let's go ahead and do that. Get in any hurry going through that. I don't know if you noticed it, right when we started praying, the Spirit of the Lord just kind of settled down a little sweeter there. A couple things I wanted to make mention of. You ever see somebody you think might be sick taking the communion? Don't ever worry about it. I remember one time I had a brother, his name was James Cooper, came up to me. And he had some thing in his mouth, some kind of disease he didn't really know about. He came up to me and said, and it was communion service. He said, "Hey, brother, do you think I should take communion?" I said, "Look, brother, God made that communion. He told us to do it. He never said whether you were sick or whether you were healthy. He said, just make sure you're worthy." I said, "If you can go in faith, go take it." And I was the next one in line. So my faith was to the test too. I never got one thing from it. Nobody else did that day. Because the God is in control.
Amen.
And even Brother Bram, I think you said one time, there's healing in the cup. So even as you take the cup, you can get healing right there.
Amen.
One other thing I wanted to say is Jesus said in there, as I read earlier, he said, "Drink ye all of it." So when I got to the end, that's why I drank the rest of this, because he said, "Drink ye all of it." Okay, so just, you know, I'm not contradicting what I said earlier. I ain't being a wine bibber, okay? I just finished off what we had there. So. Everybody feeling good?
Amen.
Oh, it just cleanses my heart out every time when you know you take communion, you've done all you know how to do, and just to think how much he loved us.
Yeah, that's right.
I just so appreciate that. Let's turn together then as we go into the next thing Jesus told us to do, John chapter 13. Also, my dad, he's getting the bins filled right now. Well, you have nice warm water. We go for a wash. So if you wonder what he's doing, that's what he's doing right now. John chapter 13. Starting at verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Anybody grateful that he loved us all the way to the end?
Amen.
If he had stopped one step short of Calvary, it wouldn't have meant anything. He loved us to the end. And supper being ended, and that's when I believe that we should take foot washing after communion, because supper being ended, "the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." Now, I want to backdrop foot washing a little bit. At this time, when Jesus would have done this, first off, a foot wash flunky was the worst job you could have had. It would be, I can't even think nowadays what you'd call it. It'd be the bottom guy at McDonald's. Okay, the worst, except he's got to go clean out the slime grit every day for hours upon hours. And that's the job he gets to do, and he gets paid minimum wage. That's what Jesus was doing. The worst job you could have done in the world at the time. Back then, when you would walk, you walked in sandals or whatever footwear they had. You went on dirt trails. You went in the woods. You might not have had shoes. You would have had dirt, grime, I can't think of the word, manure on them, for all we know. Yeah, the Lord, I like that look, because that's exactly what it was like. So when it comes to us washing each other's feet, go ahead and get the little feelings out of the way, okay? We ain't doing nothing compared to what Christ did for these men.
Amen.
I always like that, because I understand certain people may be a little germaphobe, but look, when it's a commandment of the Lord, don't worry about germs. I don't remember the scripture where Jesus said, we could pray for them, but there's germs.
Amen.
They're not clean because they got germs. Actually, the one time, remember, the Pharisees came to him and says, "Why do your disciples eat with unwashed hands?"
Yep.
Said, I ain't worried about that. It's about the inside, if that's clean or not. And that's why we took communion. So when we go to foot washing, I believe we've all got clean hearts now. No condemnation. Verse 6. "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do now thou knowest not now, but shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet." Don't you love old Peter? Just right there, you got the trigger, we pull it. "Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And look, he's got another round here too. "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." So at first he said, "You're never washing my feet." He had too much respect for Jesus as a man. He did the same when he said he would go to the cross. He said, "You're never going to the cross," because he loved Jesus as a man. He couldn't look past to see what Jesus was here to do. Jesus said, I came here to die. And Peter stood right away because he loved his flesh too much. You have to get past even that. See that? It's all about the Holy Spirit, church. Jesus was standing right here. He would still say, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And if you didn't, you would have no fellowship with him. Peter said unto him, Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. But ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Okay, so now we know why he said you're not all clean. It was just because Judas was sitting there. Okay, that doesn't apply to the bride or to the children of God. We are clean in his eyes. Verse 12. So after that he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord. And ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. What did the Bible say? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And this is where you have the supreme example of him getting down, taking off his evening garments, putting a towel upon him, and washing dirty, grimy feet of people he created. Amen. And he said, I am Master and Lord. So he knew who he was. That's not what this is saying. To get so humble, you can't even fight the devil no more. Right. That ain't what we're talking about. He knew he was in the form of God. He knew he was equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. God can make himself so humble, you never see him, and he walked right into the building, right under your feet, right next to your ear. You never heard him or saw him or anything because he's that humble. How much do you think you need the Holy Ghost to be able to know what God's doing? You can't figure him out. You need to get his mind. And that's where we get the commandment, that ye should do as I have done to you. That's why we're doing this. Verse 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye do these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So when people come to the foot wash and act like they're a little timid and don't want to do it, well, the Bible just said, if you fulfill what he said, you should be happy. Amen. Happy are ye. If you know what the Lord told us to do. How many times have we done that? Say, Lord, if I just knew, if you just tell me what to do, I'd do it. And here it is, right here in the Word. And for some people, they still don't do it.
Sure.
And you go, he told you right here in the Word what to do. He said, if I've washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet.
Amen.
So, and then there you go. You want to fulfill the laws of God? There's a couple we got right there. Plain as day, written in the Scripture. Do this. How many's glad you get an opportunity to wash someone's feet today?
Yes, I
am happy as well. I want to read verse 15 one more time. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Praise God. So as we come to foot washing, I'm trying to think how many numbers we got here. The three girls going to do it together? Not Aubrey. Aubrey? Okay, okay. We have a few basins out there. Do you guys know that little pew's at over there before the restroom? I'll have the five sisters. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Go ahead and go in there. One of you is obviously going to have to triple up.